Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to start today by showing you of some pictures of people from the movies, all right? And I want you to try to, there's a common thread for each of these pictures that I'm going to show you, and I think you'll probably recognize most of them. The first picture I want to show you is that of who is that? Yoda, that's right, all right. Yoda, you know, he's from Star Wars, so Yoda, all right? The second character from the movies I want to show you is this wizard. Anybody recognize him? Gandalf, all right? Here's Gandalf the Grey, all right, before his transformation, all right? And the next person, maybe some of you might recognize from the movie Black Panther, Nakia, all right? Nakia, she's also a character in the movies. And one more, this might be, some of your young people may not know this one, all right? Any of you guys remember who this, Mr. Niaga, all right, from Karate Kid, all right? And so what do those four characters from the movies all have in common? I'm going to tell you, all right, at the end of my message, all right? So you're just going to have to wait a little bit, all right? So right now we are talking about the backwards kingdom of God, about the Modgnik, and, you know, what is God's kingdom like? And so we've been comparing that to the kingdom of this world, the kingdom that Jesus lived in. For him and his disciples, they were aware of the kingdoms that have come before, the kingdoms of Alexander the Great, the great military conqueror, the kingdoms of the great kind of empire of the Greeks, followed by the Romans that now ruled the kind of the European and Middle East parts of the world. They were used to kingdoms ruling by might and power and fear, of leaders ruling over them and making them to pay taxes, and of submitting and subjecting them to oppression of sorts. And so Jesus is describing his kingdom. He's saying it's not like that. That's not God's kingdom. Jesus isn't just inviting us to be Christians. Jesus isn't just inviting us to be a part of a religion. But Jesus is saying, come, follow me. And he's inviting us to be a part of his kingdom. He's inviting us to be under his rule. It's what we pray every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer, right? We pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, where? On earth as it is in heaven. Those are kind of the two comparisons. We have the kingdom of the earth, where there's sin, there's evil, there's suffering, there's oppression, there's racism, there's poverty, there's hunger, there's brokenness, there's relationships that hurt each other. That's the kingdom that we live in. But Jesus says, I want you to be part of a different kingdom. The backwards kingdom of heaven. It's not like that. It's a kingdom where there's forgiveness, where there's grace, where there's peace. There's a kingdom where you experience God welcoming all people of all nations, of all races. And so what we're praying in the Lord's Prayer is, God, let your kingdom in heaven, all right, where all of that sin and death and suffering is gone, let that kingdom come where? Here, right down to earth. Let your kingdom up there come down here. And it comes to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And that's where we begin today as we think about God's backward kingdom. The last couple of weeks we've been talking about in God's kingdom, more is less. Because if you kind of notice, the more you have, sometimes the more you tend to worry, or the more it has you. In God's kingdom, more is less, and less is actually more. And last week we talked about how in God's backwards kingdom, others go first. Instead of in this kind of me-centric world where it's all about me and what I get out of it, God says to be blessed, put others first. And today we're gonna talk about a kingdom of God, a different way of thinking, that instead of putting ourselves first, it frees us to be who God calls us to be. I don't know if you notice up on the screen, what are all those images of, icons of? Social media, right? And how many of you have one of those accounts? Any of you? A few of you? All right, maybe some of you are like, I don't need any of that. Good job, you're right, okay? You don't need any of that. Studies are actually showing that people who spend a lot of time on social media, it's a very ramped up kind of keeping up with the Joneses, you know, the keeping up like the Kardashians, right? Because you see it and you say, well, I'm not on vacation. My kids aren't always happy, because isn't that what you see on Facebook? Just happy kids, happy life, all right? I'm not just getting a promotion, or these things aren't happening. And people see, studies are showing that people who spend a lot of time on social media comparing themselves to others, that actually leads to depression. And so today, as you look at the kingdom that we're talking about, it frees us from that, because it's not about keeping up. It's not about keeping one step ahead. It's not about, you know, going into debt so it can look like you have everything together. It's not about trying to measure up to others. Jesus calls us to descend into greatness. He doesn't actually use this phrase, but he talks about how we are to humble ourselves before him. That instead of being great, to descend into greatness. Now today in the passage, we're talking about in our gospel lesson, Jesus and the disciples going to Jerusalem. And while they are traveling to Jerusalem, Jesus has been in his ministry for parts of 3 years. And he's got this great following, and things are happening. The disciples are excited. He's fed the 5,000, the 4,000. He's calmed the seas. He's been able to cast out demons and heal the sick. And there's so many people who are finally wondering, thinking, is this the one? Is this the Messiah? Is this the one that is going to come and restore Israel? But for most of the Israelites, they were expecting the Messiah to establish an earthly kingdom. Jesus knew if he established an earthly kingdom, it'd be more of the same. More of the same wars, more of the same battles, more of the same suffering and death and sin. And so Jesus had something more in mind. He had a greater kingdom, a kingdom of heaven he wished to bring down to earth. But the disciples and those around Jesus were thinking, he's going to Jerusalem. And this time he's going to do it. He's going to overthrow the Romans. He's going to reestablish Israel on earth. And it's going to be great. And so we're told that the mom of John and James, the sons of thunder, come to Jesus. And kneeling before him, She asks for what? A favor. It's kind of interesting. It's not clear in Scripture, but you can make a case that the mom of James and John might actually be a sister with Mary. And so you think about this, you know, James and John would be with Jesus' cousins, and their mom is coming to Jesus and saying, hey, when you come into your kingdom, would you let my sons, one sit on your left and one sit on your right? All right. What is the mom essentially asking? She wants her boys to be in positions of authority, of power, of greatness. Because they're waiting for Jesus to kind of come into Jerusalem,
pull back his shirt with a big old M there and his cape flowing back to restore Israel, all right? Super Messiah, all right, for the M, okay? just to clarify, all right? That's what they expected. That's what they were looking for. But that's not the kingdom that Jesus has come to give. Jesus turns to the mom and says, "Don't you know what you are asking?" And then it's interesting. James and John must have been right there because Jesus turns to them and says, "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" They're right there and sending their mom to say, "Hey, we want to be on the right and the left. All right, yes, we're family. Let's make this a family thing." But Jesus knows the kingdom he's going to establish. And so he asks James and John, "Can you drink this cup?" Now, the cup that Jesus is talking about is a cup of suffering. Jesus knew why he was going to Israel, why he was going to Jerusalem. He was going to be betrayed, handed over to the chief priests. He was going to suffer, be crucified, and die. Jesus knew that was the cup that he was going to drink. What do James and John say? Do you guys remember? "We can! You bet! We can do that, all right?" It's kind of like if you've ever been parents and your kids want a puppy, all right? And you say, "If you do a puppy, will you make sure you feed it? Will you take care of it? When the dog does its business outside, you'll clean up outside, right? You'll do all of that, right?" And that they say, "Yes, we can!" How long does that last? One day. All right. So, and so the disciples say, "We can." And Jesus says, "Indeed, you will drink from this cup. Indeed, you will." James was the first apostle martyred. He suffered. He died for his faith. John was persecuted. He was tormented, ultimately sentenced to this prison island of Patmos to be isolated from others till he dies. John watched as his fellow Christians were murdered, were killed, were persecuted. They did drink of that cup. But Jesus says, "It's not my right to determine who's on the left or right. These places belong to those who've been prepared by the Father." And so Jesus submits himself and says, "That's not for me to grant. I'm here on a mission for my Father, and I'm here to serve him. It's not my place to say who's on my right or my left. Just follow me. Follow me. My Father knows. I'm leading you to him." And when the other disciples, they heard that James and John were asking to be on Jesus' right and left, how do they feel about that? All right? They were indignant. They were upset. Why do you think you're special? Just maybe because you're related to Jesus? Why should you be in these positions of favor? But Jesus uses this time as a teaching time. He uses this time to relate to them what God's backward kingdom looks like. He calls all of his disciples together, and he talks about the kingdom of this earth. He says, "You know how the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." Okay. Are those Gentiles nice? Gentiles nice? Do they, you know, when they lord it over them and collect their taxes and, crucify the criminals? When the Roman soldier says, "Hey, I'm tired of carrying my pack. Here, carry it for a mile." All right. They lord it over them. Jesus says, "That's the kingdom of this world. I'm calling you to a different kingdom." And so Jesus says, can you say these words with me? "Not so with you." Isn't that so powerful? All right. That's the kingdom of this world. Not so with you. I've got another kingdom for you to be a part of, to live out. He says, instead, whoever wants to be great among you must become a what? A servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give up his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, toward the end of his ministry, the disciples still didn't get it. But he wanted them to see what it meant to serve. So when they got to that upper room in Jerusalem, the night before he was betrayed, remember what Jesus did when the disciples were sitting there? He grabbed a bowl of water and a towel around him. And what did he do to his disciples? He washed their feet. He literally served them. And then he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he cried out to his Father, Father, if there's any way you can remove this cup from me, please, Lord, but not my will be done, your will be done. I'm a servant. And then Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed, arrested, beaten, sentenced, mocked, nailed to a tree, flogged, crucified, died. But on the cross, what did Jesus accomplish? He ransomed us, all right? Just like Jody had this Pastor Andy money, right? The kids couldn't pay for their suckers. We can't pay for our sins. We can't pay for our brokenness. We can't liberate ourselves from death. And Jesus, on the cross, became a ransom, a substitute. He took our place, dying our death, that whoever believes in him may have life, forgiveness, salvation now and forever. Not only did Jesus die, but he rose again as the first fruits of all who believe in him. And so on the cross, we look there. We remember the lengths that Jesus went to serve us. Jesus says, as I have served, as I have loved, so you serve others. Not so with you, not like the kingdom, but he's calling us to descend into greatness. That's what God's kingdom looks like. So today, I want to give you just a little bit of application here. Is there a place in your life right now where you like to be the center of attention, all right? Is there a place in your life right now where you like to make all the decisions? Is there a place right now that you like it to be all about you? Is there a way that you can say, how can I serve? How can I take a step back out of the center and say, Jesus is my center? I'm called to descend into greatness. Is there a relationship right now that you are maybe taking more than you are giving? How can you give more? Is there either a place at work where you find yourself lording over others? How can you humble yourself? Maybe asking others, how can I help you? Can we serve as Jesus has served us? When we do that, what are we bringing into this world? God's kingdom, the Magnificent kingdom, the backwards kingdom of God, as our lives bring Christ to those around us. May we together descend into greatness. Amen. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, allow us to be like Jesus, to descend into greatness. So often we want to be lifted up. We want to look like our lives are all together. We want to enjoy all the blessings of this world. But Lord, that's not about your kingdom. Help us, Lord, to find ways to serve, to give, to be great, not applauded by others, but in our service, in our love of others. Allow your church to not rule over the world like worldly institutions do, but may we as a church, the body of Christ, may we serve, may we love, May we ask our neighbors, our community, how can we help? How can we serve? How can we meet you where you're at so that we can be Christ's hands and feet for you? Help us, Lord, to descend into greatness, being a part of your kingdom and bringing your kingdom to this earth. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.